It's a hump day. It's RBKD. Today on the show, Texas goes big with NIL. What is the impact of that? We'll get into the 2022 Texas schedule. That is out. And OU players, they're going to be flooding the portal. Which ones would you take? Or maybe better question, which ones wouldn't you take in UT with a special visit today? Tons to get into, including Cowboys and the Saints. That'll be tomorrow. This man played in the NFL. He went, though, from DB High to DBU, ended up in Detroit in the league. He's in more private clubs than a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone I know, yet doesn't like white food. He is a football theorist. He is an All-American. He is Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first, a lifetime Austinite, a conservative liberal like the great Bun B, but he doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. My man was a reality TV star before Urban Dictionary was a thing, and yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than you or your whole team. He is my co-host, the estimable Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing great. Good hump day. We've got, still have football. We're at the very end of college football, but we've got this weekend still is going to be packed, and it starts tomorrow with Saints and the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, it's going to be the NFL. We got a long way to go because the NFL picture is still a little bit blurry. But yeah, man, college football winding down. It's a sad occasion, but still it's a celebratory occasion. Championship weekend, baby, you can declare the champions, and there's always a little chaos on championship weekend. We just don't know where it's going to come from.
Right. It's on the field and off the field. Yeah. Usually we're talking
coaching carousels.
Right. And, yeah, you're right. We'll get into that. Rankings coming up next segment and possible expansion. But the coaching carousel is the one that's kind of kept everyone busy.
Yes. No, it's constant right now. Well, we just had we had unprecedented things happen in the coaching carousel. I mean, you just had things we've never seen before. Generations of college football fans have never seen a coach leave Notre Dame for another college job. That hadn't happened since 1908.
Or Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma, we hadn't seen that happen since, I think it's 1947.
Yep.
Was the last time a college coach left Oklahoma for another job in college.
And they hired after that. Next hire?
Who was it?
Bud Wilkinson.
Yeah, it's a good omen. Yeah. Well, bad omen for Texas.
Bad omen for the rest of college football.
But good omen for them. So, we've seen these unprecedented happenings in college football, and I think everybody's still a little shell-shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, you really can't digest it, yet you don't even have really anything to contextualize it with. Like, how do you put it into perspective? Like,
you really can't.
Because there's really nothing to compare it to. So I still, and then, of course, now Oklahoma and Notre Dame, they have to fill vacancies. And you're talking about top five all-time blue blood programs having to fill vacancies. You just don't see that very often. So we're in a new era of college football. We know that. We just don't really know how to process it.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Let the money rain. But yeah, I mean, a lot of good games. Straight and up, we've right. got a short show on Friday, so we're going to hit. May hit a little bit later on today, but definitely tomorrow. I'm excited about it. I mean, Oregon, Utah, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Georgia, Bama obviously is the game. Michigan, Iowa, all of them kind of bring something to the table. Even Pitt, Wake Forest for an ACC that is as down as it can be.
You know, there's I like watching that Wake Forest team.
I can watch Wake Forest run that. Slow delay.
It's that slow, like vertical. It's kind of a vertical mesh. It's so weird how they do. And the point is to
zone read concept.
They want to delay it. They want it to be something that they delay over time because they're trying to confuse the
quarterback
defense.
Throwing his hip into a defensive end.
It's like they do booty blocks. It's
right.
Yeah. No. It's a very very interesting offense to watch if you're a football theorist. So
also Houston, Cincinnati too.
We'll listen, see. Houston's defense.
Houston's 11-1.
Houston's defense. Most people haven't watched it, so they don't, haven't watched Houston, so they don't know. That defense is the real deal. I mean, they can rush the passer as well as, any team in the country not named Georgia. They can get after the quarterback, so that'll be the thing in that game. They could make life hell for Desmond Ridder. And that, we'll see. I mean, it'll be a good test for that defense, but we know that Cincinnati needs some style points.
We do.
They can't just win. It's unfair. And life ain't fair. Don't teach your kids that. If you're teaching them kids that life is fair, you're doing them a disservice. It ain't fair, but they got to win, and they got to do it convincingly.
They do. So still lots on the table. We'll get into a lot of that tomorrow, but still a lot of off-the-field type stuff. Brian Kelly did meet with the LSU media, and he said, "What is that sausage?" And that's Budan.
Boudin, little gumbo, little jambalaya.
Is that tea? That's Sazerac.
No, he'll get used to it. As long as he wins, it won't matter.
It won't matter. He's going to have plenty of resources to do that.
Yeah, he'll get used to a little spice. He'll get used to putting a little hot sauce on his food is.
You adjust to them. Oh, they don't adjust to you.
No.
That's Cajun philosophy.
It's still some of the best food on the planet. I mean,
it is. If you don't like their food, you just have bad taste.
But some people, and I know this because I am, married to a Caucasian woman. A lot of my Caucasian brothers and sisters, sometimes the spice is a little too much.
Right. Not for me, but yes.
Yeah, not for all of my Caucasian brothers and sisters, but for some of y'all.
Yeah, true.
And I've eaten enough dinners to know that some of y'all don't like the season necessarily, but it's because you don't want the spice to it.
Right.
It's a little too spicy.
They want it bland.
Some of y'all still using half a packet of taco seasoning because you think it's too spicy. Okay, so just throwing it out there. No, that's a real story. That's real.
Well, Lincoln can leave his brisket in Norman.
That is
and
true.
Can get that some nigiri. Some good sushi in California. Yeah. You don't do sushi, do you?
Nah, not really my thing. Maybe Lincoln does. Not really my thing.
We're going to do an Uchiko Amy's ice cream right there. They're right next to each other.
No.
Back to back. Mexican vanilla right after some good sushi.
I can't handle it.
We're going to get that done.
I'm not hating on it, though. I know it's good stuff, but I just can't. Not for me.
So Malachi Nelson, the 5-star recruit from L.A., who decommitted from Oklahoma, has committed to USC. That happened yesterday. We're seeing a lot of different players, including Marvin Mims, Austin Stogner, either enter the transfer portal or there are reports that they're going to be entering the transfer portal. This is where Stoops and OU, they got to come in and just try and stop the flood.
Yeah.
And see what they can dam up.
Yeah, right now, you just have a mass exodus of talent leaving. And maybe this is just kind of the new age. We'll get to that because you do have now the one-time transfer waiver without penalty. So you probably are going to have this more freedom because guys just have more, more players' rights. They have the ability to do that now, the accessibility. So Marvin Mims, Theo Weiss, Jaden Hazelwood, Spencer Rattler, Austin Stogner. I mean, the list just keeps growing. And
are there any of those guys that at Texas, considering where their talent is, you wouldn't take?
Should.
You take them all, right?
Oh, yeah.
Including
whichever,
Rattler.
Yeah, any of those guys who want to come. If I'm Texas, I mean, they would have a spot on my roster. They're talented enough.
Yeah.
No, really. I mean,
considering this roster. Are,
considering the Texas roster, I think they would all be upgrades or better options.
I think they would all start.
I think most of them would. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I would take any of them if I was making the decision. I'm not, but I'm with you. I think any of those guys would be an upgrade for Texas. And we did see that. Matter of fact, Texas Twitter is already trying to help the Longhorns out a little bit. we saw some Longhorns via Twitter. I think it was Jalen Ford. Jalen Ford tweeted out. Did you see this? He tweeted out
Marvin
a picture
Mims.
Of him and Marvin Mims, I guess, in high school together. Some
big head.
And, basically, trying to recruit him.
Did he put that on the tweet?
He did. I think it was big head that he put on the tweet. But you can see, I mean, they're trying to coax some of these guys and convince them, hey, come to Texas. And I think Bijan Robinson also said, we need him. When it was thrown out there, I think his response was, we need that guy. So, the Longhorn players, Longhorn Twitter, they understand and they're working.
Apparently Mims was not happy, and you can understand why. He didn't get his first touchdown until like the sixth game. And we've talked about the lack of explosivity that offense usually has vertically with the passing game that they haven't had. And Mims apparently was frustrated even before Lincoln was leaving that there were thoughts that he could go into the transfer portal.
I mean, it is. I mean, I will say I want to see what happens at Notre Dame when they're out of the college football playoff discussion. And I'm not saying it in a detrimental way. I'm not trying to hate on the Notre Dame, but I just wonder if you'll see a similar exodus. Like I said, now that you have the one-time transfer waiver without penalty out there, will now you see, because that's a similar situation, right? Mm-hmm. You got a program that's still doing really, really well. They've had success, sustained success over a long period of time. They've had a coach in place. They've also had stability over a long period of time. And then the coach out of nowhere decides, boom, I'm out. All right, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Or you're going to have a similar, like a replicated, mass exodus, if you will, could at be. Notre Dame.
I think now, it depends on who takes over. If Marcus Freeman does, then you're probably good to go.
And that's the incentive right now for Oklahoma to kind of, like you said, stop the bleeding as soon as they can. That's why Bob Stoops' presence alone is fantastic. We haven't heard Caleb Williams leaving, and that alone is that's a success story for Oklahoma. It may happen soon. It may happen down the line. But the fact that he hasn't immediately decided, no, I'm out, that means at least he's listening to Bob Stoops.
And he may wait, Lincoln Riley, until they play the bowl game.
Exactly, right? Whatever his loyalty, wherever it lies.
And that's where the Kelly thing is weird. And I hear a lot of people saying, I don't ever hear someone bitch about a kid sitting at a bowl game. And I see where they're coming from that angle. I mean, I get it. But also, I think there's different rules for different hierarchy. It is disappointing, though, to see coaches, if you still have a shot to maybe play in the playoff, to not wait. Go, just wait.
Yeah, but what if your new employer is insistent?
Could be that, and you want to get recruiting starting. Right? I understand that side, too.
I do. I get both sides. I know, and it's a lot of people are upset with, the way, right? I think Brian Kelly's speech to his team right after it broke, and the next morning, remember he sent everybody a text, and the next morning
7 a.m.
talked to the team. I think they said there are differing reports about how long it was. Some people say 11 minutes.
Some people say 2 minutes. You only got 2 minutes, but that was the only audio you heard.
Whatever. But now there's a longer bit of audio out there, actually.
Yes. It was longer than 2 minutes.
It was longer than 2 minutes. And, I mean, he's trying to explain it best he can and justify it. It's trying to break up with somebody and explain to them why you're breaking up with them.
It can only go so good.
Exactly.
It's going to be bad.
Nobody's ever being broken up with is like, that went well.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be bad. And you want it to be brief.
Yes.
Nobody wants this thing to drag on. Like, why did he take questions? No, you don't want to take questions. No. You need to just state your case, state why you're leaving, and leave. No taking questions. You can only dig yourself in deeper. And people are upset with, because you hear the story about how when it broke, actually, the news that, Brian Kelly was leaving to go to LSU, he was actually in a recruiting visit at the time.
So that's kind of what I want to get to.
And okay, you want to get into that?
No, well, that's part of this first segment is that I'm actually, as a Notre Dame fan, I'm totally cool with Brian Kelly leaving. I think it was towards the end anyway. I'm surprised that he lasted through 2015 and 2016. He wanted the Eagles job in 2015, 2016. They go 4-8. Brian Driscoll's telling me this marriage is not good on either side. Neither side wants each other. And I guess the sex got good again. But there were still those issues there. So I'm fine with them leaving. And the resources at LSU, the money that they will pay for stuff, that Notre Dame, some of that stuff they probably should. But it's just a different philosophy. So I'm cool with it. I know Oklahoma fans aren't cool with anything with Lincoln because he's still young. They thought he was going to be there for 10 years.
Yeah,
I
thought he was going to be the
next
Stoops. I
don't think any Notre Dame fan would have told you in 4 or 5 years is Brian Kelly going to be the coach.
Great point. They thought he'd leave for the NFL. That Lincoln Riley would leave, he'd leave for the NFL.
And then that would be it.
No Oklahoma fan would be mad.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
He left for the Cowboys. What are we going to do?
What are you going to do?
But that's still early on. They're probably pissed at him no matter what. I'm not pissed at Kelly. The only thing that I think as a fan you can be upset about is the recruiting aspect. That if you're double dipping, or if you've been using this dime for 3 weeks to recruit for another school, that would piss me off. That's all part of the nebulous kind of part of these transitions.
Yeah, it's tough.
There's
man.
A story right here. Lincoln Riley assistant may have broken NCAA rules mid-transition from Oklahoma to USC.
Because
we got social media now, so we got recruits saying, hey, this guy said this.
I don't think there's any doubt that this. If these reports, allegedly, right? That's what I'll throw that out there so we make sure. If the reports are true that the recruits are saying that some of these recruits are saying, hey, I'm being recruited by Roy Manning, he's representing Oklahoma when he's recruiting me. And then another recruit around the same time is saying, hey, he's also recruiting me, but he's representing USC when he's recruiting me. That is a straight up violation. I mean, that's a violation of the G code. That is that's straight up being two-faced. So it's a different issue.
OU compliance tweeted.
Yeah.
You see that? I didn't know they had a Twitter feed.
Yeah, that's an integrity issue, number one, for you as a coach. So your reputation is on the line. But also, I will say that, it's really tough. I mean, when you go out there on the recruiting trail, you have to go out there. I always say that they are ugly babies, but nobody who has an ugly baby knows it, because you would never tell that person who has an ugly baby that their baby's ugly. It's a must-lie situation, and I figure these coaches in these weird situations, I mean, I guess they could go out on a recruiting trail and, not really recruit the kid and say, hey, man, you should just pick the school based on the school and not the coaches. Because, just basically tell them the truth. The coaches could change at any time. I love this school, but if I get a better opportunity for my family, I'll take it. I guess you could do that.
No, that's way too honest.
But coaches, they're not that honest.
That's way too honest.
They're never going to tell you you have an ugly baby. Nobody's going to do that. And it just doesn't happen. I wish it would happen. And, man, I guess you could cancel the visit. You could cancel the recruiting, like the visit.
But then something's up. And what if you do stay there and you got to say, well, this is why I canceled.
It's really tough, and I agree. I don't like it. It is shady. It is, yeah, it's all types of shadiness, but what do you do? Like I said, it's my ugly baby theory. I think it might be one of those must-lost situations where I don't know what you say.
Well, people have talked about this forever, and I don't know if we're at that spot, but do you try and create some type of legislation to keep coaches? You make the move, but you can only make it at this time. The NFL's kind of done that to some
degree. They've definitely done that. I don't know what you do. I agree. It's not cool. It's not fair. I think the best thing they did was give the players the right to transfer without penalty.
Yeah.
Give them a mulligan that if the fit hits the shan, they can go, you know what, man? I'm out. I don't like the way none of this is working out. Okay. You get your one, because it may not be your fault. It may be your fault. It may be your bad decision. It may be the coaching staff that comes in, and they may not like you. I think that's why it was real. To my opinion, that was one of the, I think one of the coolest, and it was probably long overdue that the NCAA did to try to give and infuse some players' rights, or at least infuse them with some empowerment that they can control their own fate when it comes to all this instability and uncertainty in college. The college sports landscape.
Period. Yeah, well, I think it definitely eases the issue or the tension that you get with coaches making these moves.
Making these moves.
So getting back to it. So it was John Hoover of SI Sooners. He reported that.
Oh man,
this is crazy. Yeah,
it is crazy.
So that Manning, who you're talking about, who coached cornerbacks under Riley at Oklahoma, appears to have made recruiting efforts for both schools, and that's when OU compliance with the blue check mark has the eye emoji with 100. Like, this is too good to make up.
That's it. We this is a new era. We've never really seen things like this. It was being reported by Josh Newberg of 247 Sports that Florida State coaches were in Norman recruiting players out of the transfer portal. Guys from Oklahoma.
Smart.
Guys like, Mims and Weeze and Hazelwood.
You know what that takes me back to?
That is crazy.
Do you remember the 30 for 30 SMU?
Oh, yeah, the Pony Express.
Paul Hackett and USC and all those different coaches.
That makes sense,
The second they got on death penalty, they're down there talking to the guys.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's kind of what we're, in my opinion, that's kind of what you're looking at. So it's a wow, wow, west. It's a new age. And, yeah, I mean, the reports are, I think Hoover was the one to report that USC recruit Domani Jackson, he told 247 Sports Greg Biggins that Riley was blowing up his phone. And he also said that Roy Manning, who was a DB coach at LSU, was recruiting him. And then you also had on the other end, you had other recruits telling, at least putting out their own social media that they were also being recruited by Roy Manning, but as a representative of Oklahoma. And then there were also tweets congratulating Roy Manning for being now hired as a member of the USC staff out there on social media too. And so it's just, if they can prove that he was indeed recruiting for both sides, then yeah, that's a clear NCAA violation. Robert Spears Jennings, a 3-star defensive back from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, he thanked Manning via Twitter and other assistant coaches for recruiting him. And, you had some other players. Xavier Bryce, a 3-star wide receiver from Seguin, Texas, also thanked Manning and the OU assistant coaching staff for recruiting him. And this was on Tuesday. So that was also, I believe, the same time that it was reported that he was recruiting the California kid, or the kid from California, or the USC recruit, I should say, Domani Jackson. So if they can prove it, yeah, it's a violation. And I don't know who, I guess he would have to be the one that would face the consequences, not Lincoln Riley. It'd be him.
Or USC.
Or USC, I guess. Well, yeah, because who does he work for?
Right.
Officially.
USC would get that.
USC would get it if they hire him anyway.
Exciting to see all these Oklahoma players in the transfer portal. That 2019 class that was so good, guys. Jaden Hazelwood, Theo Weiss. I mean, the thought was at that point, and we knew Hollywood Brown and CeeDee Lamb were great receivers, so it's not like they were upgrading a lot, but they were getting 5-star guys in there, multiple ones, to go with 5-star quarterbacks, to go with Biedenboe and that offensive line. And I thought, Lincoln's offense is only going to get better. And this last year, it really wasn't. Now, Weiss had a pretty good year. He had 37 catches and 530 yards, four touchdowns, and then he got hurt. Staying healthy is important for him. Stogner was not as big a part of the offense as he had been the year before, but he'd be an upgrade at tight end. He'd start right away. Hazelwood, Weiss, Rattler, these are some damn good football players, Rod.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of
And I'm not saying just for Texas. None of them may even look at Texas.
No, you're right about that. They may decide to link back up with Lincoln Riley.
They could,
Of these guys, we don't know if they're upset with Lincoln Riley for leaving, or they're just like, hey, man, we're going to join our coach. That's the guy that recruited us. That's the offense that we wanted to play in. But I went to Tracking Football Scouting. They're actually keeping track of the transfer portal.
I saw that.
247 Sports doing a good job of it, too. And Sports Source Analytics also combined on this. And their claim is that now that you have 1,471 players that joined the transfer portal at this point in the cycle. So that's 1,471 as of November, and November is officially done, and now we're in December. And there's a good chance, because of more coaching upheaval and more coaching carousel, you're going to have even more guys hitting the transfer portal. So
it's going to be a record.
You're talking about three times what they've ever had at this point in the transfer portal, and it's going to blow out. I mean, it's going to blow that out of the water, too.
Yeah.
In December.
Perfect timing for Texas. If you're trying to get out of the bottom of the pool, this is a good way. This is something you can grab onto, and you can't turn it around all in 1 year, but you're trying to overhaul a roster. I mean, everything you just said right there fits perfectly.
You might need to do like Mike Norvell and go to Norman and go recruit the players out of the transfer portal. That's new.
Go Paul Hackett.
I haven't heard
that
before. That is
go Paul Hackett.
That, I mean, not new, old school.
Old school, right. Do you remember that 30 for 30 with SMU and all the coaches? And it was weird, too, because they were right outside the locker room. Like, it was just...
Because they were running it like a business.
Yes.
They were paying the players, and they were basically like, hey, this is free agency. Let's go recruit these kids. It was unbelievable. So right now, 43 quarterbacks, and this is 247 Sports. They actually rank players. So some of these are walk-ons, and some of these guys are playing at, you know, a lower level of
Texas
college
just had a junior walk-on from, I think it's from Vandergrift.
Yeah. Exactly.
Who had to get a couple snaps, and he's in the portal because he graduated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, go find a Texas State and play.
Exactly. So that number consists of all levels, I believe, and also the walk-ons and everything, too. But 247 Sports, who actually does their ranking of transfer portal players now, which is really cool, they have, I think, 501 players now listed. That means guys that were at one point they had ranked, probably going into high school or something, that went somewhere and then now are back. Which I think is pretty cool. Just 43 quarterbacks, though, in case Texas is looking at quarterbacks. Wide receivers, 77 wide receivers. I mean, and that number's only growing. And now you're talking about quality ones, too. Like
yeah.
The ones that are leaving Oklahoma.
That's where the evaluation, getting back into that and creating that relationship as quickly as possible, and then selling them that, hey, you can come in here and play right away at a big-time university. All right, we'll get into the college football playoff rankings. Those were released yesterday. We hit those a little bit. But also possible expansion. This thing's still on the table to go to 12.
Welcome back to RBKD. My man KD over here has got some KD karaoke going on. A Way Back Rap Wednesday, old school hip hop hump day. Cameron doing a great job on the first choice DJing us on a Way Back Rap Wednesday. All right, KD, you love the song. Who's the artist?
Onyx Slam. Yeah, get the hell out of here. I'm a big boy standing in my big boy stance. Hurry up and give me the microphone before I bust on my pants.
The Mac author of Anguish, my language polluted. Onyx is heavyweight, man, and it's still undisputed.
See, now I'm going to argue you too much of an Onyx fan.
I love this song.
Now I'm going to argue you too much
of an
Onyx fan.
One of the best hip-hop songs of all time.
Okay.
I won't check the text line the rest of the show.
I know. See, you were doing so well, and then you just drive it off a cliff.
I obviously love the song.
Thelma and Louise. You were doing so well.
Thelma and Louise.
You just go right off the cliff. You were doing well. And you're like, it's one of the greatest hip-hop songs of all time. And even Cameron was like, all right. Yeah, see, you were earning your black card. You lost your white card yesterday. Cameron took that from you for the show and then gave it back after. And then you were earning your black card there. Then you lost it when you just said, boom, greatest hit, one of the greatest hits.
Oh, you guys give out cards, you take them back.
This is true. They do all the time now. You just, you're right. They give them, take them. Kanye West has
got
this.
I feel like
his,
Jerry in that episode.
Back.
There's a phrase for that, but I'm not sure what it is.
Exactly. Either way, it might get you canceled. How about that? Can I ask you a question real quick, though?
Please.
I heard this on, I know we're going to get to college football playoff rankings here. We're also going to get to the college football playoff expansion conversation, which, by the way, has been put really on a back burner for the media. But they're meeting about college football playoff expansion, like, right now.
We've had other stuff
in
going
Dallas.
On. Right.
But right, there's so much other stuff going on.
This is a great time to
nobody cares
a meeting.
Or it's for a news dump.
Oh, great.
You want to just dump
some
random stuff out there right now that you've been meaning to throw out there that you have to let the public know, but you just didn't want to be the headline.
How come we couldn't have had this
exactly.
time?
You got some shady stuff you want to throw out there? Perfect news dump time. But no, I heard on B&E this morning, and it was a great show. They had Chris Beard on. I believe it was the 8 o'clock hour, so go back and podcast it if you get a chance. And those Chris Beard discussions are always funny. They're always cool. And Chris Beard said that, and they were talking to him. They always have kind of random conversations to start off before they get into basketball. And he said that he was talking to, I believe, it had to be Coach Augie. And he said, Coach Augie said, hey, when we're hanging out during the holidays together, because they got to hang out together, they don't get to see their families like usual because they got to play around that time and all that kind of stuff, school's out, all that kind of stuff. And he said, we should go caroling. As a basketball team.
Ogden said that?
Yeah, he said they were going to go, like, suggest. And then Chris Beard said, I didn't think about it, but it actually seems like a good idea. I think they might have got it from Ted Lasso, because I think they go caroling on Ted Lasso in one of the holiday episodes. Spoiler. But here's my question,
Thanks.
Though, is.
Now I'm not watching.
My question is this, though, because now I have several questions about this, about caroling, number one. Because I've never.
I don't come from a caroling family.
Okay, now I assume, and I'd be wrong about this, and I'm ignorant, let me know. Because it's not a black thing. I've been around black culture.
Doesn't seem to be a black thing.
It seems like it's a generational thing, number one, and then it was a white thing way back in the day.
It's a generational white thing. That's what it is. No, you're right.
Right? Okay, because I don't know any people
and not all white people did that because we didn't.
No, I know, but like back in the day, when anybody that was caroling, it was if people were caroling during the slavery days, they forced the slaves to come sing the ones that could sing. They didn't want to go caroling. Let's be honest about that. So it was a white thing. So my point is this:
it made me laugh. It's
no, so nobody's caroling anymore, right?
That's your payback for cancer laugh.
You do make me laugh at cancer.
I know. You just made me laugh at slavery.
I hate it every time.
I don't feel good about it.
But no, seriously though. So nobody, you've never known a caroler in your life.
No.
Cameron, you've never ever known anybody who's ever caroled. Am I using that right? Caroling, caroled?
First church I went to, actually.
They caroled?
Yeah.
They went caroling? Okay. All right.
But a majority of the church just looked at him and said, eh.
So maybe it's a church thing.
I think it could be a church thing.
I went to a black church. I don't think we caroled.
And y'all sing.
They sing. They love to sing.
You love to sing.
Church.
You think you'd be caroling
church.
Everywhere.
Nah. Maybe you don't go caroling in the hood. Maybe you don't carol in the hood.
It's got to be white neighborhoods where they carol, right?
I would think so.
I would think so. Yeah. Sometimes I think it's like a
But I never saw caroling.
So do they carol in Westlake?
I never saw it.
Is there Lake Travis caroling? I don't know.
Never saw it.
Tarrytown caroling? I don't know. Just asking.
There are people be in beamers and they'd roll down the window. And play there.
And blast it. Music. That is the
and
West.
And take off.
That's Westlake caroling.
Right. I was like, maybe this is the caroling here.
I was just curious if caroling was. So caroling
no,
is
it's
dead.
A good question.
It's not a thing anymore. Nobody carols.
Right.
That was like an antiquated old school thing
People
back in the day.
Too afraid to get injured.
No, I know. I mean, nobody. I mean, I'm just saying, hey, I couldn't even get kids to come to my house
for
candy
caroling,
on Halloween.
So obviously, caroling is officially dead now in the pandemic.
Yes. Because, hell, they won't even trick or treat anymore.
Right.
Really. So, yeah, caroling. I just don't know anybody who ever caroled ever. And I was just wondering, like, the caroling protocol. Like, do you just walk up to a house and start singing? And then the harmony and the beautiful sounds, they just end up luring the people outside? Or do you knock on the door and go, hello, good, happy holidays. We're gonna carol for you.
I think you just start singing.
You just start
and
singing.
Then at some point,
they just come
at
outside.
Some point, you ring the doorbell. And then everyone runs off.
Well, that's a different game. That's a different activity. All right, sorry. I was just randomly curious about caroling.
I love whenever you throw stuff out there like that.
No.
It is. And it was one that I don't think any of us my age and below really have.
I've never known one human being that's ever caroled. So I was just curious. I'm sure the text line is going to be lit up now. Like, Rod B, we carol all the time.
It's a genuine intent.
Well, yeah, it's really
you know,
nice.
It's a really good idea. It's nice. It's like, hey, we're just going around spreading joy.
And you know what? You don't do, like, no, people, there's no caroling in New York City back in the day.
No, you get mugged.
You get mugged, you get cussed out.
Right. Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Eddie Murphy in the morning.
Yeah. F you, yes,
yes,
F you too. All right. Random question about caroling. If you got some thoughts on it, specs, text lines, where you put it, as where you put it, 512-337-3776. All right, let's talk about the college football playoff rankings. Any surprises in your opinion? I'll give you. Here are the college football playoff rankings. I'll give you the top 10. You have Georgia at number one. No surprise. Michigan end up being number two. Bama 3. Cincinnati at 4. Oklahoma State at 5. You're Fighting Irish. Man, the coachless Fighting Irish. At number six. Number seven, Ohio State.
They're going to need some help. But I knew that. I knew Oklahoma State would pass them.
Yeah, you know what? Oklahoma State deserves it.
Sure.
I think so. You know what? Compare resumes. Because you can always justify someone else.
And I agree with that.
I think Notre Dame, they do right now.
Their schedule just is not tough enough. Oklahoma State's schedule is not incredibly tough either. Yeah,
but
I mean, that's why I look at all those teams and say any of them could probably beat the other one.
Any of those.
There's not
that,
a ton of separation between.
Five through ten?
Yes.
And for the remaining 10 is 8 at 0, 8 Ole Miss, 9 Baylor, and 10 Oregon. And I think I agree. Well, actually, 11, because Michigan State's a 11.
Yeah, Michigan
so
State
I would say,
could
I think
play
you're
with
right.
any of those
5
teams.
Through 11, I think any of those teams could beat the other one on
and
any given Saturday.
You could even say 2 through 11.
You know what?
Cincinnati-Notre Dame, I would give Cincinnati the obvious advantage.
Actually,
one by 11
that,
and
I think you're right about
one.
That, actually. Yeah, you probably could. You can go 2 through 11. Yeah,
because 11 beat 2
on an any given Saturday.
So there you go.
Yeah, and I think that's why.
Don't tell the committee that, but.
Well,
11 did beat 2.
Oh,
I know they missed that weekend.
Yeah, you want to get into some. Yeah, I'll say this too. I think that they're gonna look for a way or a reason to justify pushing out Cincinnati if they can. Now, Cincinnati, I think, can help themselves by getting a decisive, commanding win on Saturday over U of H, which is at 21, actually, on the latest college football playoff rankings.
That'd be a good win.
That would be a good win. But Chad made a great point. I was listening to Trey and Chad earlier today. He made a good point. He said he believes, even as an Aggie, that them putting the Aggies at 25 and putting Arkansas at 22 the Arkansas at 22 one is kind of interesting, too, that almost that's a way of helping Alabama in a sense so that their Aggie loss doesn't look so bad.
Oh,
and
okay, yeah.
That so their win over Arkansas looks a little bit better. And you know what? I don't think he's wrong. And maybe both of them, maybe that's a stretch, but I don't think he's wrong in that. I think they want to justify trying to keep Bama in this thing if they can,
mm-hmm.
as long as they can, because it would give them a potential out if Cincinnati crashes the party.
Yep. Right? I think you're right.
They could kind of push them out.
If Cincinnati wins, they should be in. I don't care how they win. Well, but that may not be the case.
Because if Oklahoma State wins, you know, they play number 9 Baylor. I mean, it's 5-9.
And we're assuming Bama loses, right?
We're assuming Bama loses, yeah. But
which is a big assumption considering it's still Nick Saban.
I mean, Nick Saban as an underdog, even more so.
6.5-point underdog.
Point underdog for Nick Saban. Oh, I went and did the research. How about this? You'll like this because you made me really curious about. Because remember yesterday I asked you last time Nick Saban was an underdog of more than 3 points.
I said 09.
And you got it right. You hit the nail on
the
head.
Florida?
It was Florida. It was Florida 2009 of more than 3. It was 4.5. And they beat Florida.
They blew them out.
32-13.
Right.
Before that, you got to go back to 2008.
Never
when they
forget
were,
seeing Tim Tebow take a knee on the sideline.
Yeah. No, but back to Florida in 2008.
So sick of Tim Tebow. Seems like a great guy, but we had had enough Tebow.
Oh, yeah,
down
you didn't
our
like the eye black
for,
and the scriptures?
I was fine with the scripture. I didn't like, I just didn't like the post-game press conference, the speech.
Oh, really? You didn't enjoy the speech?
No, it was a whiny kid.
Is that one who was crying?
Yeah. And I'm going to do everything I can. And
it's one of those things where you love Tim Tebow if he's your guy.
Oh, without
a doubt. And if he's not
doubt.
Your guy,
he's doing that for Texas.
Everybody
I'm
hated
like,
Tim Tebow. Exactly.
I'm helping the statue. I'm already building it outside.
It's like a Draymond Green. Like right. Draymond Green, everybody
yeah,
hates Draymond Green.
He seems like a great guy.
Unless Draymond Green's playing for you, and you're like, man, I love Draymond. He's the heart and soul of the team.
Yeah. I also kind of felt like Urban was building a small prison down there.
Well,
I was right.
You know what? And turns out Tebow was keeping a lot of things together.
He was.
Because he was hanging out with Aaron Hernandez
he
at
was
that
having
time.
To.
Probably kept him from murdering a couple of folks. No joke, actually.
Right.
And, no, I'm not joking. Like,
and
seriously.
Missed a couple, too. But probably stopped some.
But then Bama was a 10-point dog. That's the Biggest dog they've been since 2008 versus Florida in 2008. And they won, actually. Florida won 31-20, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So you were right. Just giving you some props there. But anyway, yeah, so the rankings, I think.
I rewatched that 08 game about a month ago.
How? Did you go online?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know why I did. But I but that was closer than 31-20. Florida got some touchdowns late.
Late.
Yeah.
Pull away.
Yeah.
I could see that. But those are, yeah. I mean, I remember those times, man. Those were, talk about Titans, clash of the Titans between those two. Anyway, but getting back to the college football playoff rankings, I think that Georgia is going to not blow out Bama. I think they're going to beat them by more than two touchdowns.
So you'd take Georgia to cover.
And what is the number now?
Six and a half.
Oh, yeah.
I've been so bad the last couple weeks, I don't want to give any advice on this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would take that all day, every day, and twice on Sunday.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Really?
I'm with you. I mean, if I'm thinking about it right now,
yeah,
trying to get past weekend.
That Bama offensive line versus that Georgia defensive line, ooh, that's going to – I don't know, man. Miracles happen. I mean, that's what prayer is for, but I got to tell you, I don't see it happening. I don't see them holding up for four quarters against that
defense.
We're going
to see that Georgia back end and just how good it is. Jameson Williams.
Will we?
Well,
I mean, does Bama really test?
Not like we would have with Ohio State.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
No, it won't be that test.
So, I'm wondering about that, too. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think Championship Sunday, if you get one of those upsets, the whole thing could be thrown into chaos.
So what about going to 12? Do you think they're going to go to 12?
Okay, so here's the latest. I'll just read from Ross Dellinger is the guy at Sports Illustrated. Does a really good job covering the college football playoff expansion.
Wasn't Ross an LSU guy for a long time?
I think you're right about that.
We had him on the show.
He
was good.
I want to say you might be right. You're right about that. Man, your memory is just sick.
Yeah.
So apparently the debate over the 8-team playoff is done. They're deciding right now between keeping it at 4 and it just expanding all the way to 12.
Why are there not other options on the table?
They said the model that right now they're considering. They said
I love when people eliminate options when they don't need to.
I don't even know why. They said at their meeting last week, a group of conference commissioners introduced a new alternate 12-team postseason model that guarantees a berth to each Power Five champion. So I think this one, it pleases everybody. Everybody gets a trophy kind of thing. At least more people, it's more inclusive, right? You got too much exclusivity happening with the college football playoff. They want inclusivity. 12, everybody, all the college football, at least the Power Five.
I'll remind you, that won't solve the problem.
No.
Of teams being that much better. Just because you put 12 in there doesn't mean you have 12.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. The alternate model grants automatic bids to the Power Five champions, plus the highest ranked Group of Five champion. The subcommittee's proposal gives automatic access to the 6 highest ranked conference champions. Each format completes the field with 6 at-large selections based on the rankings, of course. So it'll be the conference champions, then the highest ranking Group of Five member, whoever that is, and then you get your 6 at-large based on whoever else from the top, I imagine top 12, is not already guaranteed.
So it's really close, except for that one, really close to the one we had a year ago that was proposed.
Yes, almost identical. As a matter of fact, it says the College Football Playoff Committee, the 10 FBS commissioners plus Notre Dame AD Jack Swarbrick. Cachet.
Jack's busy clout. Man now.
Yeah. They discussed the alternate proposal, what's being termed a 5+1 model, last week in Dallas. In the same meeting, commissioners agreed to continue reviewing several other 8-team models.
Okay.
Though they are considered a long shot to gain unanimous support at this time.
Why not a 6-team model? We can start there.
Yeah, they said the Pac-12 is open to any of the 3 formats. It says the alternate proposal is the latest wrinkle, but they said back in June when a subcommittee of commissioners announced a 12-team proposal that has faced pushback from the alliance. Remember that, right? The Pac-12, Big Ten, ACC. At least 2 members of the alliance introduced the alternate 12-team format. Multiple athletic administrators, including the Pac-12, say that they're open to any of the 3 formats, including either 12 teams or even an 8-team. So the 8-team is not completely dead. It's just a long shot, is what they're saying.
Okay.
So commissions are expected to meet again, which is right now and tomorrow in Dallas. And they're going to be voting on remaining at 4 teams through 2025, which is the last year of the college football playoffs contract with ESPN, approve the 12-team format, or approve an alternate 12-team model guaranteeing bids to Power Five champions. So that's pretty much where you are right now. The 8-team one is being discussed, but apparently that's not one of the ones that's gained enough support for them to meet again and discuss.
I don't trust any of the people making these decisions or their intentions. And I haven't from day one. Well,
it's about straight cash, homie. You
That's exactly. I know what it is.
You know what it is.
I know what it is. I'm not sure what it's going to take to get Arch Manning, but Texas
straight
is...
Straight cash, homie.
I didn't want to do that transition. We'll talk about it up next. It's a Way Back Wednesday here on RBKD. Cameron Parker spinning it behind the glass. We'll get Cameron's thoughts on a lot of the stories we're going to be hitting, including Cowboys, Saints coming up next segment. Cameron's a big Cowboys fan. What do you got here?
Little Pete Rock and CL Smooth. They reminisce over you.
Old school. Man.
What year is this?
I know. You're talking about, what is this? He's talking about early 90s, right?
I think so.
Like 90,
it's got to be 90s,
92. Or it might be even before that, honestly. It might be like 90.
Long-ass time ago.
Yeah, no, it might be
1992.
Oh, I got it. Boom.
Look at you.
What talking about?
All over it.
It just means I'm old. I know. I hate when I get that because then it's almost bittersweet. I'm like, yeah, I got it. That just means I'm old.
Yeah, I'm old.
Actually, as you put on your readers.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, the reminder that I am old.
Oh, my bad.
My reader's on. Yeah.
1992.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning would have been a junior at Isidore Newman.
Wow.
It was 94. He was a freshman.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, good for you. Man, the fact that you...
Hey.
The way you can calculate math quickly just based on that kind of stuff is freaky.
It's, like, it's actually how I calculate just stuff in life. I mean, I do it with sports. So I do it with other stuff that I should know. That should be the baseline and what... Everything works around. Instead, it's stuff like that, and I can figure out, like, I don't know, family stuff that I should know a lot more. That should
like
be
taxes.
The, should be the nucleus. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Stuff like
all that.
It's like, nah, you just use it on sports.
It works.
But it works for you.
Hey, 94 Tennessee, so his freshman year, Peyton was, this is always one of the funny stories. So there were two five-star quarterbacks, and one, Brandon Stewart, was from Texas and ended up transferring to Texas A&M. I think you would have played against him.
Oh, yeah, probably did. Yeah.
Maybe.
The name sounds familiar. Maybe. I'm not sure.
You were 99
as
a freshman. Okay, you wouldn't know.
So I wouldn't have, okay.
But you guys just would have missed each other. But Manning obviously was a five-star too. But the quarterback that they played early on was Todd Helton.
Hey.
How crazy is that?
That is crazy.
Todd Helton ended up becoming a big-time first baseman.
Used to have a Todd. Yeah, you're right about that. And, man, how long was his eligibility? Did he exhaust his eligibility?
Yeah, Helton would have been probably a junior.
Okay.
And then was already a baseball All-American. Like,
so
we knew how good
so
he was.
So everybody knew he was going to play baseball
yes.
anyway. Okay.
And knew after his junior year he was going to be a first-round pick. But he actually, because Peyton and Stewart were trying to get a hold of things. So Peyton was a huge recruit coming out of Isidore Newman. Now his nephew, Arch Manning, is a huge recruit and will be a senior next year. And this is a big one for Texas, Rod. I think Jeff Lebby, the offensive coordinator, is going to be there on Wednesday. LSU, Jake Peets, although is he still going to be there? I guess he is,
but I'm with you. I don't see how LSU can be attractive to Arch Manning. Well, I guess now with Brian Kelly coming in.
Right.
He got a new sales pitch.
I would ask Jake, how long have you had a conversation with Brian Kelly? Like, shouldn't you?
That's a good point. No, I'm with you.
Figure out what y'all are going to do and
but
sell?
It definitely makes him more attractive now than they were, right? If you're Arch Manning.
Agreed, yes. Yeah. Yes, totally agree.
But the history with Ole Miss, I think, is a little concerning because they do have a Lane Kiffin there who's known as a quarterback whisperer of sorts, and they do have, kind of an offensive culture there.
They do.
We don't know where Matt Corral's going to get drafted, but Matt Corral's playing like one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC.
The way that quarterbacks get overdrafted in this league, I'll make a prediction right now.
Think he's going first round?
Matt Corral is going to be in the first round.
Well,
and it may be 27, it may be 11. But there are enough teams that need quarterbacks, and we always know that is the desperate move. That is the I have not been drafting quarterbacks or just trying to imagine someone being your quarterback is not being laid in a year. And you're going out and you're going to get laid. You're going to talk yourself into someone.
Speaking into existence.
Yeah.
Speaking into existence.
Being that person for you. And so Corral will get drafted. My question with Lane Kiffin is he going to be there?
That would be a good
good recruiting pitch against him?
It would be. I mean, that was the recruiting pitch against Jimbo Fisher most recently, was that he's leaving. But now, of course, it's not.
Yeah. So take that one off the table.
No, you're right about that. I think with Arch Manning, what's going to be important for Texas, because, I mean, Sark's just got to sell the offense, right? And I wonder if the offense looked good enough for an Arch Manning. Did he see enough? And did Manning see enough? Because they're going to be advising him on, oh, man, you should go there with Sark. This is a great offense. You add yourself to the mix with Xavier Worthy and with Bijan Robinson. And I don't know if they're, you know, looking at Arch Manning to start right away when he gets to Texas or anything like that. But my point would be you have to sell the offense if you're Texas. Because I don't know what else. You can sell Austin, which is great, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sell Austin, right? But name, image, and likeness to, you know, Arch Manning, I don't know if it means as much as it would mean to other guys, because he's going to get that.
That's
everywhere.
A great point.
He's a national brand.
Yeah.
So you got to sell the offense and the scheme. And I think you sell the city of Austin, and that's great. City of Austin is great. And, of course, the University of Texas.
We'll get into name, image, and likeness, what Texas is creating, coming up at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Cameron, you got a take on that?
Here's a fun thought for you. Lane Kiffin takes the Oklahoma job and brings Arch Manning with him.
Oof.
Well, that's not a fun thought.
That's a disgusting thought.
So I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. That's not fun
at
all.
It's an interesting idea. I'll give you that. Nationally.
Or Miami. But, or he goes to Miami.
Yep. He says Miami apparently had said it is his dream job.
Who said that?
Lane Kiffin.
Oh, really?
This was a little while ago.
Okay. Lane Kiffin has apparently a really good relationship with Arch Manning, too. And he's got similar things to sell. He's got the history with, of course, he's there at Ole Miss, selling the history that Eli went there as well. And I love the story that Eli told that, and I think my man CB sent it to me back in the day, that he thought about Texas as one of his finalists, actually, back in the day.
Who, Eli?
He
did.
And
it was Sims, who was a year before, is the reason that never was going to happen. I think Eli was going to come
and
here.
And he said it was the coach from Duke that ended up.
Cutcliffe,
that ended up at Ole Miss, I believe.
Right, had been at Tennessee,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of flipped him, too, because I think they're family friends or something like that.
Oh, they are. No, Cutcliffe is, if we had a Cutcliffe on the staff, I would be saying we're going to get this thing
So if not for that move, Texas might have got Eli Manning back in the day. I mean, it was a possibility. I mean, Mack was just recruiting Wales.
He was recruiting Wales
at quarterback. Sims, Manning. Yeah, you know, Vince Young was
Chance
a five-star.
Chance Mock was a bigger
Chance
recruit.
Mock was a five-star, if you ask Chance Mock, he was.
Chance is a six-star.
Oh, man,
I love Chance.
I do. I love Chance.
Hey, so Texas is going to visit him tomorrow. They're going to be in New Orleans to go see him. Good 24/7 story. Always check that out, obviously. And we've got our man Jeff Howe here from 10 to 12. Manning said, talking about A.J. Milwee, I like him a lot. I can relate to him because he's younger. It seems like we're friends almost. Well, keep that going, A.J.
That's good.
Yeah, you guys become buddies.
Yeah, and he's got that. He's got the same effect that Chris Sims had in my 99 class and Corey Redding did. They do have that, I call it the We Are the World effect, that, you know, they'll bring all the superstars together because everybody wants to play with Arch Manning. Everybody wants to play with Sims this time. Everybody wants to play with Corey Redding. When Mack Brown got both of those guys in the same class, it was a whirlwind.
It was
a windfall.
It was
of recruiting. It was on like Donkey Kong. And I think that's what you do. So the recruiters are basically, if you can get Arch Manning, all the rest of the pieces will fall into place. He'll bring you four or five other big-time recruits that'll make your class. And that's what happened with Texas. That's what happened with the We Are the World, by the way, because they needed to get all the superstars together for one project. And I believe it was Quincy Jones who said, man, go get Michael Jackson. Go get Stevie Wonder. Everybody else will do it.
You're in.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the theory.
Start there. Snowball down. Mm-hmm. Texas will host Oklahoma commit from Arlington Seguin, and that is Xavion Bryce, who's an athlete. That'll be December 10th. So, look, just a lot of musical chairs here. We'll see where Texas plays out. Arch Manning would be for next year. 1 hour in. We'll see who can play for the Cowboys tomorrow. Man, they're dropping like flies.